I'm Femi Yoke. 2 years into the COVID pandemic, we are seeing its impact on the world of work. People have changed jobs, handed in their notice, changed careers, and also lost their jobs, of course, as well. Professor Anthony Klotz has dubbed this phenomenon the Great Resignation. Here's what he told us earlier.
What's perhaps most surprising about this Great Resignation trend is that we're 8 months into it here in the United States, and we're still seeing new records being broken for the number of resignations in a month, with the latest record just a few days ago being reported for November. And so the takeaway from this, what it tells us is part of what we already knew, and that turnover is contagious. And a lot of this turnover is being driven by frontline workers, by industries such as retail, food service, and healthcare. And so another takeaway is that when turnover starts in those industries, it's important to take steps to stop it as soon as possible, because the more resignations that happen, the more stress that creates on remaining workers, and the cycle continues and grows bigger and bigger.
Why is this happening? What is going on? Is it global? Three questions our guests will be able to answer. Sadal, Heejung, Rani, welcome to the stream. So good to have you. Sadal, please introduce yourself to our stream audience.
It's so good to be with you. I am on the faculty of the Harvard Business School. My name is Sadal, and the author of Remote Work Revolution, Succeeding from Anywhere. And my work sits at the intersection of work, technology, and organizations. And I am a student of work and thrilled to be with you today.
So good to have you. Heejung, welcome to the stream. Please introduce yourself to our international audience. Tell them what your expertise is.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm Heejung Chung. I'm professor in sociology and social policy at the University of Kent, UK. I'm also the author of an upcoming book, The Flexibility Paradox, Why Flexible Working Leads to Self-Exploitation. So I'm a labor sociologist. I love anything to do with labor markets. And in this book specifically, I look at issues around flexible working, work-life balance, and also importantly, gender equality and what flexible working can do for gender equality.
All right, good. Have you. Hello there, Rani. Good to have you here on the stream. Please introduce yourself to our viewers around the world.
Thank you so much for having me on. My name is Rani. I am a former marketing manager. I've been working in the technology industry for the last 15 years. And I recently left my job last year. And thank you so much for having me on and the opportunity to share my story with everyone.
All right. So, ladies, guess. I like the way that Professor Klotz, in three words, described a phenomenon that is happening right now, the Great Resignation. Sadal, do you like that phrase? Would you change it? I'm going to ask all three of you this. What's going on?
I love that phrase because it describes the phenomenon that we're seeing the world over. And it also describes that the Great Resignation is happening because of the Great Recognition. People want better jobs, better arrangements, better wages, and better managers. And because we've been in the middle of this global cataclysmic pandemic, the tolerance for inadequate work scenarios has gone down. So the Great Resignation is very, very apt.
Heejung, would you change the phrase? Would you adapt it, tweak it a little bit?
No, I also love this phase because I think we're really at a turning point in terms of what work means, what work-life balance should look like, what work culture should look like. And as Sadal said, it's like the Great Resignation, what it really pinpoints to, it's not just like a little fluke, or you're not going to be seeing an end of this in the next couple of months, or maybe not even at the end of pandemic, whenever that may be. But it is something that is really, hopefully, fundamentally going to change the way we see things, the way we work, and the way we live our lives specifically. But I think more importantly, we have to think about this as an opportunity that needs to be worked at for it to work.
Rani, do you feel your inner trend? Do you feel that when you quit, you were part of a trend of other people quitting too?
My personal story was a little bit different. So I didn't quite, I left my job in a little bit before the big trend of the Great Resignation happened.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit different for me at that time. And so I would say that the Great Resignation is an apt term for it. Beyond the Great Resignation, though, I also believe that a lot of workers today are also going through a reassessment as well. So in addition to the Great Resignation, I would also categorize this as a reassessment, a great reassessment, as well as a great repudiation as well. So I think with the pandemic, we've all had the opportunity and time to really introspect on what it is that we want out of our lives and careers, if you will.
Rani, I have a Twitter thread that is pinned at the top of your Twitter account. So many people have asked me, where are you going or what's next? Nothing is next. That's the whole point of quitting a job when you have PTSD from burnout. Rani, I want you to do this last line.
Yeah.
Say it.
I am doing absolutely nothing.
I love it. Do it one more time on camera so we can do it. See it again. Do it one more time.
I am absolutely doing nothing.
All right. What happened, Rani? What happened?
Yeah. So before the peak of the pandemic, I already was experiencing seeds of burnout from my job. I was overworked, overexhausted, under-resourced. You know, I also felt a length or kind of a length of job dissatisfaction, if you will. And so when the pandemic hit, I felt an added pressure in terms of, one, being in New York City, being isolated during shelter in place, and having an extra level of, I would say, you know, pressures of living through and working through this time period. And then in addition to that, I also found myself working in overdrive or hyper productivity, if you will, where a lot of times because I was no longer commuting to work, I'm getting calls and meetings at 8 a.m. I'm now more open to having calls with global team members. So I also managed projects that had a global span in Asia and Europe. And so what started happening was I started getting calls before normal work hours and after work hours. Yeah. And in the beginning, it was okay and manageable. But over time, it started compounding, of course, and it spiraled, if you will.
Can I ask you a question that I've been dying to know? How do you manage income-wise to do absolutely nothing? I've been dying to ask this question.
That's a great question. So I've been working in the tech industry for 15 years now, and I think that we all recognize the income levels that the tech industry offers and the type of lifestyles that we are able to afford. So on that sense, I do recognize my privilege and how lucky I was to be able to do that, while also understanding that there are a vast majority of people that were not able to do what I have been able to do. So I've always been the type to live within my means. So I was able to save a lot of money to be able to kind of chart out and plan out, okay, for the next 6 to 12 months, when I downsize my lifestyle, I will be able to take the time that I need to prioritize my health and my life.
Hey, Jim, what were you going to say?
I just want to really pick up a few things that Rani just said, which really resonates with what we found in the data. So even before the pandemic, what happens is, you know, people have this idea that if you work from home, in quotation marks, that you're not really working, you're not really being productive. But actually, during the pandemic, people have been working longer, people have been working harder. And as Rani said, you were being asked to do work at some weird godly hours because, you know, no longer do you need to commute, so you could actually be available at any time. And what I think really the Great Resignation is showing, and, you know, this has been, you know, said by other scholars as well, is that it hasn't just kind of happened during the pandemic. There has been almost like a little bit of a boiling point of people have been unsatisfied. People have been kind of pushed to the edge and just barely managing with just before breaking point. And what the pandemic has done, and especially for working parents, but for also people who don't have children or care responsibility, it just really pushed them over the edge. And also with so many people having experienced grievances in terms of having had lots of, you know, loved ones die, but also get ill, have long COVID. It really gave us a moment to kind of reflect on what is important in life. And one of the things I think was really interesting is this great movement for shorter working, because we realized that work should not be the center of our lives, and it should not take up all the time and energy it has.
I feel that you're attacking me, Hee-jung. I'm leaving you to do the show. I'm going to spend some quality time elsewhere. Let me just bring in some YouTube comments. Our audience are watching you, guests, on YouTube, and I have some feedback for you and some thoughts here. So now let me put this one to you. And this is the reasons for why this moment is happening now in the world of work. And AZ Kim says, big reasons, childcare coverage, COVID-19 concerns. And she also said, I was just tired of employers trying to fill their open positions with my position. I feel like it's been magnifying bad bosses, bad companies. We're seeing that. And I think people are just saying, enough. So now your thoughts.
Absolutely. Completely agree with you, because this is not an era for mediocre or poor managers. People not only don't have the tolerance for it, but also in many instances where remote work has been a mode of working for many people, not everyone, but for many knowledge workers around the world, they migrated to a remote work format. And remote work requires excellent managers who don't micromanage, who trust their people, who empower their people. So those who have the mentality of butts and seats and treating employers poorly are losing people in one of the fiercest labor markets that we have seen in our lifetimes. Mm. The jobs that are available for great people is extraordinary. And with remote work, it's now more borderless. People can get hired in another state and in another country. So the competition is fierce. So the observation about poor managers is very, very true, in addition to the need to ensure that work-life integration is working for people.
Let me just put this to you. I'm just going to do this as a speed round because we've got lots of comments in from YouTube. Hee-jung, I'm going to put this one to you. Faruga Stern, it says, I work in healthcare. Healthcare still requires people to work on location, but I'm concerned that the Great Resignation will compel employers to hire those with less experience. Is that possible? Or does it mean that they can pick and choose higher qualified people? I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think this is more about what is an option of what managers think is the best way forward. If you're going to go down the route of constantly trying to find low-paid, lower-skilled workers to fulfill your labor force needs, you are going to go into a downward spiral, which isn't going to necessarily benefit your clients, your patients, in this case, your workforce, and yourself, the company as a whole. What is better is trying to figure out why are people leaving? Why are people, especially in the healthcare industry, leaving in drones? They are suffering from burnout. They are suffering from, not enough recognition, not enough good work quality, working conditions, which can all be solved, which can also, help, maintain workers, recruit better workers. And, what survey shows us is that workers actually want better work-life balance policies, possibly more than income. And this is what employers really need to wake up to.
Rani, one for you, and this is from Emmanuel, who quit his job last week. He's a financial analyst, and he's going to Thailand to work there instead. How did you hand in your resignation? Was it drama?
It wasn't drama at all. And, at my workplace, we have a really great team. And I did have a very empathetic manager and leader. And so it was a conversation that was a little bit emotional, if you will, since she was a very understanding manager from that perspective, and understanding that I was going through reprioritizing my life and my work around my health priorities, if you will. And so it wasn't it wasn't difficult in that sense. And so I had a face-to-face conversation. Typically with a resignation, I would like to have an in real life conversation about it, but I did provide a 1 month notice, if you will, and then also helped transition my projects and my team with you know, me eventually leaving. But it was an emotional experience. At the same time, it was also a sense of relief on my part.
All right, guess I'm going to bring in a new voice into our conversation, and this is Lola, who gives us a sense that the employees are turning the tables on the employers. Here she is.
So for me, the decision to leave my job wasn't actually an easy one. I liked my role and I liked the people I worked with, but for a long time I've been wanting to start my own HR consultancy business with a focus on young people and early careers, which is where my passion really lies. And I just thought from a product perspective, it's probably the best time because there is a really big skills gap at the moment and young people are needed to fill that skills gap. And also from a personal perspective and a risk perspective, I thought it's also a really good time because I was working as head of people for a recruitment business, so I knew it was really a candidate short market, and I thought if I try it, it doesn't work, fall flat on my face or whatever, I don't like it, I can re-enter the workforce quite easily because skills like mine are in quite high demand. And so I just decided all those things combined meant that it was probably the best time to take the leap.
Could we be entering a golden age for employees, Sidal?
We are. The employees have the power today to help frame the type of workforce that they desire. And the reason for this is because even after World War I and World War II, there was a movement to disrupt work, to improve work, to have better pay, better quality of life. And we're seeing it all over again, but to the degree that we've never seen in our lifetime. So it is the period where employees have a lot of power. It won't last forever, but they have a lot of power today.
Hee-jung, go ahead.
I'm gonna slightly disagree with you here. So I think it really varies. Obviously, I mean, even just looking at the professionals, and we've seen this happen, especially early on in the probably not last year already. Like you see, the CEO Apple, you know. Goldman Sachs, you know, all sorts of other tech companies, even tech companies where, you know, you realize like, you know, this could be completely done at home. This could be done completely flexible. Mm-hmm. Asking people to come back because of why. And if you listen to the reasoning behind why some employers are asking workers to come back into the office, that has nothing to do with productivity. It has nothing to do with providing better quality work. It actually has to do with a lot of management things about how managers don't feel apt to be able to, without micromanaging workers, to manage workers that work across the globe who
The reality, though, Hee-jung, if I may, is that even though they asked people to come back, they've all walked it back and changed their minds. In fact, Apple has said that they haven't even set a return to office date. They recently gave every employee $1,000 in order to enhance their home offices and have said that their return to office dates are postponed indefinitely. So all of that, it's an aberration, all that bravado has not come to pass. Why? Because employees have the power.
Yeah, but if you look at what's happening, for example, in London, so London was completely empty. And now with the government enforced work from home policies, workers are working from home because it's illegal to go into the office, especially if you're a white collar worker. But even despite that, just a personal experience here, my husband's currently looking for a software developer job, which need not be in the office at all. But majority of the companies that he's interviewing do want people to come in 2 to 3 days a week because at least 2 to 3 days, if not more. And this actually in many major companies. And this is something that we hear from a whole range of people and potentially from companies where, again, you question the rationale behind why
this
is necessary.
And companies cannot adapt. They are slow to adapt to something that happened very fast, that wasn't planned for. And even 2 years later, does that mean that businesses and companies and organizations, they're just not adaptable?
They're not adapting fast enough is what I think. I think a lot of companies don't fully understand that this isn't just about remote working, giving people remote working opportunity a day or two a week. This is about really radically transforming the way we work, where it needs to be done and what it is even. But a lot of managers are what they're trying to do is post-pandemic, just go back to the where it was, make minor small changes of, okay, we'll let you work a day a week or 2 days a week. And is that enough? And hoping that will be enough for workers. Now, This is why workers collectively need to push back, because these kind of negotiations cannot be done individually, because individual workers rarely have enough power. When only done collectively, and I'm not even talking within the company, possibly across different occupations and sectors, really push back to say, no, we are not going back, because it is not beneficial for you nor me to do so.
But I will say, though, if you look at the data, and I'm talking about data for the last 18, 19 months, and you survey employees across industries, across sectors, whether it's the Harvard Business School Online survey or the Microsoft survey of 30,000 people, employees want hybrid work, which is a mix of in-person and remote work. They don't want necessarily all remote work, maybe about 20 to 30% want all remote work, but the vast majority want hybrid work. And you have about 15% of the population oftentimes who want to be just in person only, including very young people who are building their careers. But the reality is not everyone wants full remote work. Hybrid is what's the most important thing for people today.
Let me just bring in Heejung's survey. It's not just Heejung's survey. It's University of Kent looking at reasons why people want to work from home after lockdown. I'm not even sure when that is going to be, but, you know, in a post-COVID world, who knows when that will be, what year that will be. Right at the top, commuting time. Like, why would you spend so much time commuting? When we did the stream at home, I literally walked down the stairs and there I was. I was at the office. Spend more time with the family. Employer likely to encourage me to work from home, be more productive. That's really interesting. That's right there in the middle. Fear of catching virus, I'm surprised that wasn't higher. For the environment, good point. Mental health reasons, Rani, I know you can speak to that for sure. Spend more time on other things. I think that is spend more time on other things. Physical health reasons. Rani, when you look for that next job, when you decide what that's going to be, do you want to be remote? Do you want to be in an office? What do you want to do?
Yeah, I think something that hasn't been widely discussed is it's not so much, you know, do I want hybrid work or do I want fully remote work? But I want the flexibility of one. I'm at the stage where I am prioritizing my health and I am prioritizing my mental health as well. So what I really need from employers is policy, fair policies and consistent policies that also show me that when I do go back to work, that I will have systems and processes in place that will ensure both my physical safety. So if I am going back into an office environment, that I will be physically safe, not just in the office, but also on the way to the office. I know that's a little bit harder to control, of course. And then the second aspect is psychological safety as well, from a mental health aspect. What kind of benefits are going to enable me to ensure that I will have access to healthcare and ongoing healthcare that will allow me to, one, prioritize the things that I'm personally, you know, kind of prioritizing in the sense of I'm now a 37-year-old woman, and now I have to kind of think about, am I one day going to have children? And those are the real types of things that a lot of women in my age group are thinking towards as well. And so, you know, when I look at what is it that I really need and prioritize from an employer aspect, it's beyond, you know, how am I going to work in an office environment or a hybrid environment or fully remote environment, but it's more so about what is going to ensure my physical and mental psychological safety.
Mm-hmm. I've got one more. I think that's absolutely correct.
Sure.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Because I think the key. Yeah. Sorry.
I'm going to wrap up the show because we could talk about work all day long. I want to show you something here on my laptop, which is the premise for where we started, taking us back to where we started. Will the Great Resignation change the way we work? In a sentence, Sadao, Heejung, Rani, what do you think? Sadao, you start.
Yes, absolutely, because work has changed and workers have changed.
Heejung.
Yes, and I think the most important thing is that workers need to be given more control and autonomy because they know how to work best.
And Rani.
Yes, absolutely, 100%. It will change the way we work because now workers are able to use this time to introspect and prioritize what matters most.
Yes, thank you so much. YouTubers, thank you so much for talking about the world of work and the impact of the Great Resignation. Thanks for watching. See you next time.